again, an example from Scripture. And it comes from Acts 7. How many of you have ever witnessed an execution? I never have. I haven't. I've been in a war, but I've never witnessed an execution. But that's really what happened in Acts 7. Stephen was executed. And the man that was there, we know this, it's just a reminder, the truth bears repetition. The man that gave approval for the death of Stephen is the man that penned these words by the Spirit of God. How great is his work? How great the one that could take a Saul of Tarsus, a rude, insolent, overbearing man, as he would describe himself, the chief of sinners, and that is the man that comes presenting the grace of God to ones just such as you and I. That's what God does. This is why I like to emphasize this, young people. We are his workmanship. Don't you let anybody tell you you're nobody in Christ Jesus. I may be nobody as far as this world is concerned. I may not have a great name here, or wealth, or riches. I can't afford a $20 million ride in a plane. But let me tell you something, a spaceship. We are his workmanship. Don't ever let go of that, that we are his workmanship. Now, you know what else it tells us at the end of that verse? God has work to be done. Am I willing to do it? Am I willing to be one of his workers? Oh, I've got to get an education, Mr. Chuck. Don't you understand? I've got responsibilities here. I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. Well, wait a minute. Is there a local meeting from where you come? Do you have anything to do there? How important? Yes, we have other responsibilities. We're still living in this world. But our prime responsibility, if I could say it that way, is this, isn't it? That I earn a living. I want to go on to school. I want to have a job. But I realize the Lord has put me here to carry on for him in the local meeting. Most of us won't go as missionaries somewhere. Some of you may. I encourage you if the Lord is exercising you along those lines. But many of us will just be kind of ordinary Joes like Tony and Emil and myself and John. We're not anybody great, you see. We're just guys. But there's a work to be done, you see. And the Lord would say to all of us, will you have part in the work that I want to do?
I'm just going to quickly also just mention one other example of somebody that was dead. We know Lazarus was dead. And it was only after 4 days that they would say that he stinketh. And so when everything of man was set aside, then the Lord Jesus comes onto the scene. And what does he say? Lazarus, come forth. So Lazarus is raised from the dead. And very soon after, in the next chapter of John chapter 12, where do we find Lazarus? He's sitting at the table. It says that Lazarus was one of them that sat with him at the table. Are we in the good of enjoying the fact that we're seated with the Lord Jesus now, and he's not physically at the table that we're sitting at, but he's in heaven, and we have the privilege of being those that would have that close relationship that we could sit down, and it says that they made him a supper. Are we bringing something for the Lord Jesus, for his enjoyment, for his delight, whether it be in our lives, or another example would be, are we remembering the Lord practically at his table when we come to the supper on Lord's Day morning? Are we there as those that would be with him, whom he invited to that meal and asks us that we would do that in remembrance of him? Just a quick challenge there.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a digression. I want us to understand, young people, that the effort of the enemy in the Western world is to divide you from your older brothers and sisters. Do you know that? Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think of somebody who has made a difference for you, aside from your mom and dad or your grandparents. Think of somebody in the local meeting, a brother or a sister, that has made a difference for you in your life. Have you ever thanked them? Have you ever told them you appreciate the example that they have been for you? They'd love to hear that. They'd love to hear that from you. They don't want to hear that from me. They want to hear it from you. You've given them an example to follow. You've done something because of their faithfulness to the Lord. How the Lord would come back and help fix these barriers that the enemy brings in. There's nothing more important, I don't think, than what you've just expressed as to the breaking of bread. It's the greatest privilege that I have in this world to remember the Lord Jesus. And I use that word advisedly. I don't call it a responsibility myself. I don't go to the breaking of bread because I have to. I don't go remember the Lord because I'm supposed to. I go to remember the Lord Jesus because He is there. And I want to be with Him. And a week has gone by and He has not come. I'm not there because it's an obligation of mine. But I want to be there to be with Him who has done this great work for me. Brought me into this place that we're looking at.
Yeah, just not to take away from that, but I thought maybe we can just look at the next few verses that bring us into, again, reminding them these were not Jews, these were Gentiles. And if we see here in verse 12, we see an awful condition that they were in. At a time they were without Christ. I mean, just that alone. And now that the fact that they've been brought to Christ, they've been made one with Him. But at one time, they were without Christ. They were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. These were not ones that had a covenant with God, with Jehovah. They were completely separate from that. And they were strangers from the covenants of promise. They had no hope. They were without God in the world. They just an awful, awful condition of what a human being could possibly in. But then right away, after we read that, we find again these wonderful words, but now, or but God, in Christ Jesus, who were sometimes far off. We heard yesterday how far off we were in that son that had left. We are Gentiles here. Most of us, if not all of us, are Gentiles. We were far off. How far off were we? God knows the measure of the distance of how far we were. And then once again, we're made nigh to Him. And again, it seems as though every time we get to a nice high point where we're now seated with Christ in the heavenlies, before we were blessed with every spiritual blessing, the Spirit of God brings in again the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, lest we ever forget what it cost us, that God would raise up His Son, but now raise us up with Him. That same power that was required to bring Christ up was now required to raise us up again. But again, we come to the blood. He never wants us to forget the price that was paid. The blood on the cross that the Lord Jesus suffered and died for us. And it's that blood alone that can wash away our sins. That blood that now not only has made us clean, but has now brought us near. Brought us near to the God, those who of us, we were all far off. We were all very far off. But that blood, again, has just brought us near. And so the Spirit of God just reminds us again, lest we ever forget that awful price that was paid. And it was only His blood. God said, when I see the blood, it is God's estimation of the value of the blood, not ours. If it was ours, we probably would not think it was worth that much. God, when He saw the blood, He was able to pass over, as we read in Exodus. And here, when He sees the blood, He brings us nigh to Himself.